Our guest speaker today is Dan Mears. Dan goes to work each day, like many other men, dressed in a suit. The only difference is that instead of wearing a tie, he wears a tail. And Dan has this unusual occupation of being a professional mascot. And so for 29 years now, Dan has served as the KC Wolf mascot for the Kansas City Chiefs football team. He averages more than 350 appearances each year. And he's traveled throughout the United States and around the world, entertaining fans of all ages. In 2006, Dan became the first NFL mascot inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame. And yeah, it's good. And he began when he began his career with the Chiefs back in 1990, Dan never dreamed that he would still be wearing a costume almost three decades later. But as Dan's wife likes to say, old mascots never die. They just smell like it. And the best way for us to introduce Dan to you this morning is by showing you this short video clip of him in action. Watch this.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving place. Fire all of your guns and pumps and explode into space. I like smoking lightning. Heavy metal thunder. Racing with the wind. And the feeling that I'm under. Yeah, I gotta go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of your guns at once and explode into space. Like a true nature's child, we were born, born to be wild. We can climb so high. I never wanna die.
All right, thank you. You know, the best part about that, they pay me to do that. Isn't that amazing? So, well, it is good to be with you. First thing I need to do is stand up here and apologize because I was halfway to Topeka when I realized that I wore a black shirt today when we were playing the Raiders. So I'm like, Father, forgive me. I know not what I am doing. And so, but you guys look good, even though I'm in this ugly shirt today. But and Pastor Brian, thank you for wearing a Chiefs jersey or shirt today. But as Pastor Brian said, my name is Dan Mears. I live in Kansas City. Back in Kansas City, I'm known as the guy that's got the strange occupation, okay? I'm a mascot. Now, when you're a mascot, it's kind of funny. There are three questions that people always ask, okay? So as soon as they find out that you're a mascot, it's always the same three questions. Number one, and this is how they say it, is that your real job? Yeah, that is my real job. Number two, is it hot in your costume? Yes, it is, okay? I think a lot of you know this. Mascots, we use a special cologne. It's called Febreze. You can get it at Walmart, okay? But we use a lot of this. And then the other question that I get is, how did you get into that line of work? You know, how did you become a mascot? Well, I think some of you know I got my start as a mascot back in college. I dressed up in a tiger suit at the University of Missouri. Hey, we're in church. Hey. Okay, remember, we're in church. That's what I was expecting this morning. But if you guys know, I was Truman the Tiger. I did that for 4 years while I went to college, and then I graduated, and that made my mom and dad real happy, okay? You know this. The smart kids graduate magnum cum laude. I graduated thank the latte, okay? So I graduate. My parents are both excited. They're like, son, we're proud of you, but you have to get a job. So if you know, first job I got after 4 years of college, went out, I got my first job working in professional baseball. I dressed up in a bird suit for the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, yeah, check out the bird legs on that bird right there, okay? Now, if you look at that picture, you can tell two things. Number one, that was a long time ago, okay? That was before I started to put the gray highlights in my hair. The other thing you can tell, the guy that was the bird before me was a short guy. You see, I'm pretty tall. That meant his feathers covered up a lot more than my feathers covered up in the bird outfit. So I'm running around St. Louis in a bird suit. I get a call from the Chiefs. They wanted to know if I would be this guy. And I may need assistance. I don't know if that. There we go. Dress up in this outfit, KC Wolf. And I thought, you know, I bet I'll look a lot better going to work in gray fur than cute yellow tights each day. And so I took the job in Kansas City, and I've been with the Chiefs. Apparently, I wrote that introduction last year because this is my 30th season with the Chiefs this year, which, yeah, thank you. I know you're all out there thinking that's a long time to avoid a real job, right? But I love what I do. People always ask, what's the best thing about being a mascot? Well, number one, I get paid that goofy. Kind of nice. Used to get in trouble for that in school, and I get a paycheck for it. So there's hope for some of you kids, okay? Number two, I tell folks, I go to work each day in a suit and a tail instead of a suit and a tie, like Brian said. I want you to know, I never look like this for work, okay? I did this for you today, so I hope you appreciate this. Number three, I get to meet all the Chiefs players, get to know those guys, which is interesting. And number four, I get to hug all the Chiefs cheerleaders too, right? But I tell people, I don't do that near as much because about, 26 years ago, this wolf got married to a fox, and the fox does not like me hugging cheerleaders any longer. And I was hoping to bring my wife with me, but she's out of town today. But I did bring a picture of her. There she is. Yeah, that's my trophy wife right there. But you can tell we've been married a while. We're starting to look alike after 26 years. But I got a better picture of me and my family. That's me on steroids. Yeah. And then that's me back off steroids again there. But my wife's in the red. I've got three great kids. My oldest daughter, the one in the green, she just graduated from college. I got one off the payroll. Yeah. You might not be excited about that. I'm thrilled about that right there because my other two are in college right now, and they're very expensive still. But I love being a dad. All three of my kids got to bring me in for show and tell back in kindergarten. It's kind of fun. And I even got to trick or treat with my kids too about, 15 years ago when, of course, I went as the wolf. My kids were the three little pigs that year. So had a good time. But you know, I love what I do. Being a mascot is a lot of fun. But I once read that if you ask a man his occupation, all you do is you find out how he pays his bills, right? But if you ask a man his preoccupation, then you will discover the passion of his life. Now, my occupation's mascot. I pay my bills running around in that costume, okay? But my preoccupation, what I am truly passionate about in this life, I tell people it's simply three things, and that is my faith, my family, and using my life to make a positive impact in this world that I live in. You know, in the back of my Bible, I've got this quote, and it says this. It says, God did not put us on this earth to make a living. He put us here to make an impact. And I believe that right there. That, you know, as Christians, we're called to be difference makers in this world that we live in. We're called to live a life of influence on those around us. And, you know, as I was thinking, what I wanted to share this morning, I thought about a quote, and this quote is on my desk at Arrowhead Stadium, and it says this. It says, "Your life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you wish, but you're only going to get to spend it one time, so spend it wisely." And you know, I love that quote because that quote reminds me every day I get to make choices, right? Every day I get to choose how I'm going to live my life. I'm the one that gets to decide how I'm going to spend my coin. And you know, the older I get, and I am getting older, I hate to admit that, but I turned 50 a couple years ago, so you know what that means? I got my first colonoscopy. Boy, that's a good time, right? I tell you, I don't know what the special juice is. That's the strongest drink I have ever had in my entire life, okay? That is the only time I've ever needed a designated driver. And that's more than you wanted to know about me this morning at church. But you know, the older I get, the more I realize that how you choose to spend your coin each day is very important, because the choices that you make every day, big choices, even the small ones, you know what? Those add up over time. And at the end of your life, when you look back at your life story, that's who you are, it's who you've become, it's the impact and the influence that you've had with your life that's going to be determined by those choices that you've made along the way. And you know, for the longest time in my life, I used to think that I was the author of my story, right? You hear that all the time. Come to find out, I'm just kind of a co-author in this deal. The ultimate author of our stories is Christ, right? It is God. And, you know, every day we get, we're writing a life story. You think about it. Every one of us in this room today, we're writing a life story, and every day is just one more sentence. And I once read that since you're the author, you know, one of the co-authors of your story, you're the one that's going to decide ultimately whether that sentence you write each and every day ends with a period, a question mark, or an exclamation point. And, you know, I've always tried to teach my kids, do your best to live each day so that it ends with an exclamation point. I just believe that's how God would want us to live our lives. And, you know, in the short time that we have this morning, I'm going to share with you a little bit of my life story. And if I was going to be honest, I would tell you that the chapter of my story that I'm about to share with you, in many ways, has been my least favorite, because it has been the most difficult, been by far the most painful chapter. But in other ways, I see this as one of the great chapters of my story, because through this chapter, God has taught me some incredibly valuable life lessons. But the chapter that I'm going to share begins on November the 23rd of 2013. I tell people that I will always remember that day, because on that day, I literally came within inches of losing my life. Now, thankfully, instead of losing my life, I spent 9 days in a hospital, and I got some big scars. And I had a guy tell me once that scars are just tattoos that come with a cool story, right? Well, today, I'm not going to show you my scars. If I do that, I will never get invited back to this church, trust me. So I am not going to show off my scars, but I do want to share with you a little bit of my story. But the question that I have been asked hundreds and hundreds of times over the past, what, 5.5 years now, is what happened to you? You know, how did you get hurt? And the best way to answer that question is by telling you that K.C. Wolf got to go for his very first bungee jump, and let's just say things did not turn out very well for me, okay? You see, I'm not only an NFL mascot, I'm also a failed bungee jump survivor, and there's not a lot of guys that get to say that, okay? That's kind of a small niche I've created for myself at this point in my life. But this morning, I want to share with you what happened to me. But more importantly than that, I want to share with you the greatest lessons that God has taught me since that day. But November the 23rd of 2013 was a Saturday. I woke up bright and early that morning, drove to a little town up in northern Missouri called Chillicothe. I don't know if you've ever heard of Chillicothe, Missouri, but they were having their holiday parade. So K.C. Wolf was there, Santa Claus was there, and a whole bunch of horses were at this parade. And apparently, every horse in Chillicothe had eaten a whole bunch of fiber the day before the parade, I found out as I tried to walk my way through the parade route. But But after this parade is finished, I get back in my car and I drive back to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, where I was going to practice a stunt that I was going to perform the next day at the Chiefs game. I was going to bungee jump and zip line into our stadium. Okay, we were going to play the San Diego Chargers. They're now the LA Chargers. But like I said, I was going to bungee jump and zip line into the stadium. Now, how that works is we hire a company that comes in and they set up a zip line. The zip line attaches to the lights at the top of Arrowhead Stadium, stretches all the way across the football field to the lights on the other side of Arrowhead Stadium, and then they attach a bungee cord to that zip line, okay? Now, I know that's kind of hard to understand, right? So I'm going to show a short video. Don't get nervous. This is not me getting hurt, but this will give you a good idea of what I was doing the day I did get hurt. Now, the best part of this video is at the end, you'll get to see what it looks like 260 feet above the football field at the stadium. As you can see, that college degree came in handy. And here's what it looks like from up top. I love watching your faces, by the way. Okay. There's a couple of you out there smiling, thinking, wow, that looks like fun. And everybody else is looking at me thinking, wow, that guy's an idiot, right? So the plan is for me to dress up in my costume. I'm supposed to jump out of the lights at the top of our stadium. That day I was supposed to fall for about 20 feet. The bungee cord was going to catch me, bounce me back up, and then I was going to zip line out over the football field like you just watched. Okay, so this is going to be one of the greatest mascot entrances ever. Well, unfortunately, that day things did not go as planned, because when I jumped out of the lights, because of the slack that they still had in the zip line, instead of falling 20 feet, I fell approximately 70 to 75 feet, and I hit the seats in the upper level of our stadium. I hit the seats so hard that I knocked two of the seats out of the concrete, okay? And after I hit, I still remember, I guess my body went into shock. I was just shaking. I was just trembling. I couldn't stop. And I was really, really struggling to breathe. And I'll be honest, I was scared, and all I wanted to do is get down. Well, unfortunately, if your bungee cord is attached to a zip line, there's no way to get down halfway through the ride, okay? It's kind of like a roller coaster. If you go to a theme park and you get on a roller coaster, you're not going to get off the roller coaster until the ride comes to a stop. Well, the same was true in my case that day. I jumped out of the lights, I fell, I hit the seats. At that point, the bungee cord pulled me back up, and then I started to zip line out over the football field. Now, I wish I had time this morning to share with you all the details of what happened to me and how I can look back on this. And trust me, I have thought about this so many times since it's happened to me. But the fact that I'm still here, the fact that I get to stand up and I get to share my story with people makes me extremely grateful, okay? And I'm going to warn you this morning, sometimes in life when you are very grateful for something like still being alive, you know what will happen? Sometimes it makes your eyes water, okay? And that's a good thing, because somebody told me if your eyes don't water, your head will swell. Think about that. So if you see my eyes start to water, it's so I don't get a big head like some of the players I work with. You didn't hear me say that, but I tell you, I got to make a long story shorter today. So I'll tell you, I got to do something that day that was never, ever on my bucket list, okay? I got to ride really fast in the back of an ambulance. They took me straight to the emergency room. As soon as I got there, there's all these doctors and nurses that were waiting, and as soon as I got there, they started doing CAT scans and x-rays, and they're checking me out from head to to toe and inside out. And here's what they learned. They discovered I'd broken 7 ribs on my left side, and I'd also collapsed my left lung. Okay, that's why I was struggling to breathe, is I'd collapsed my left lung. Now, I don't know if you've ever collapsed a lung. How they fix that, they give you a chest tube, okay? And I don't know if you've ever had a chest tube, but don't put those on your bucket list either, because I still remember this doctor. He looked at me, he said, "Mr. Mears, it's just a small little tube we're going to insert into your chest cavity, and you might feel a little bit of pressure." Well, apparently that guy had never had a chest tube in his life, because I thought he was using a garden hose for a while. But not only had I broken 7 ribs and I'd collapsed my left lung, they also discovered I had shattered my tailbone. I cracked my sacrum. That's the bone that your tailbone attaches to. I got a big gash on the back of my left leg here that required stitches. And then I got several units of blood because I'd lost a lot of blood after I'd hit the seats. But then my worst injury, they discovered I'd broken the T12 vertebrae in my back. And the next day I had surgery, they gave me these new titanium rods. So that's a picture of what my back looks like. Those rods are what help stabilize that part of my spine. And they also gave me 8 of these. I don't know if you can see these up on the screen. 8, these are the screws that hold my titanium rods in place. Now, if you get up close and look at that, that looks like something you can get over at Home Depot. These are a little more expensive than the ones they sell at Home Depot, I found out. But here's what I remember most about that night of November the 23rd of 2013. Here's a picture of what I looked like right there. And here's what I remember most. The doctor came into this hospital room. He told me all my injuries, explained I was going to have surgery the next morning. He's walking out of this room. He got to the door. He turned around. He looked at me, and I will never forget his words. He said, "Mr. Mears," he said, "I hope you realize tonight that you are a very lucky man." He said, "If you fell 75 feet," he said, "number one, you're lucky you're still alive." He said, "Number two, you are very lucky that you're not paralyzed right now." And you know, that night in that hospital bed, I thought a lot about what that doctor said. I thought a lot about my life. And you know what I thought a whole lot about? I thought a whole lot about how I was choosing to spend my coin each and every day. And you know, today I want to share with you some of the greatest lessons that God has taught me since that day in that hospital bed. And I'm going to take that picture down because it makes my eyes water if I look at it too long. And I don't want to be the guy that has to go to the cry room, or you're not going to, Pastor Brian's going to have sand up here. But let me share with you to start by saying this. You guys, I do not believe that I am lucky to be alive. I do believe I'm incredibly blessed. You see, I do not believe in luck. I don't even believe that what happened to me was an accident. You know, in the back of my Bible, I've got another quote, and it says this: "There's no such thing as accidents. They're all just incidents in God's perfect plan for my life." And that's what I do believe. You see, I got a good friend of mine. He likes to say this: there is one word that is not in God's vocabulary, and that's the word oops, okay? God was not sitting up in heaven that day going, "Whoops, boy, didn't know Dan was going to fall that far." No, God knew that was going to happen. Now listen, does that mean that God does not love me because he allowed something painful to happen in my life? That's not what that means at all. You guys, I know God loves me. I read it again this morning when I got out of bed. I know he loves me. I also know this. I know he loves me way too much just to allow needless pain in my life. So even though I did not like the pain, trust me, I did not like it at all, at least I knew God must have a purpose behind this pain, or he would have never allowed it into my life. And you know, that's one of the big lessons that he taught me through this time, is that sometimes God will allow us to go through difficult times, painful trials, and we look at that as something negative, when in reality, God can use those struggles in our life to teach us some incredibly valuable lessons if we'll allow him to do that. And you know, one of the big lessons he taught me during this time, and this is something that my mom used to try to tell me and my brothers when we were in high school, and unfortunately, I didn't, like some of you, I did not think my mother was very smart when I was in high school. And guess what? That woman was a little bit smarter than I gave her credit for. But, you know, when I was in high school, my mom used to always tell me and my brothers that the most important things in life are not things. Most important things in life are relationships. And you know what? My mom's a smart gal, because as I spent 9 days in that hospital bed, not one time, and I mean not once, did I think about how big my house was. Not one time did I think about how nice my car was or whether I had the latest smartphone or not. You know, not once did I think about whether I had the latest fashion clothing. As a matter of fact, for 9 days, I wore that same outfit, okay? And it was not fashionable. It was well ventilated. I will say that. You guys have seen those hospital gowns, right? You ever got to wear one of those hospital gowns? You know what they say about wearing those hospital gowns? It's kind of like owning a bad health insurance policy. You only think you're fully covered, okay? And there's a whole lot of truth when you're walking down a hallway in that gown right there. But I tell you, you spend 9 days in a hospital bed, you get a lot of time just to sit there and think. And it was during those 9 days that I was reminded over and over and over again that the most meaningful things in my life, it's not my things, it's not my stuff. You know what helped me get through 9 days in a hospital and then 6 months of very, very painful therapy and rehab day after day after day? Three things: my faith, my family, my friends. And you know what? All three of those things I just mentioned, all three of those things are relationships. You know, my faith, that is my relationship with Jesus Christ. It is the most important relationship in my life. And let me just tell you this right now. When my life story is complete, one of these days when people are standing around at my funeral, I could care less if they know I was in the Mascot Hall of Fame or not. You know, you didn't even know there was a Mascot Hall of Fame, did you? Yeah, nobody does. You know what? I could care less if people remember how many years I spent running around in a costume for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because one of these days when my life story is complete, you guys, I don't want to be remembered just for what I did. You know how I hope to be remembered? I want to be remembered for who I was. And if the only thing that people ever say about my life is that I love the Lord and I love people, I'm good with that right there. That right there is how I hope to be remembered someday. But that's my faith. Secondly is my family, my wife, my kids, my parents, my in-laws. I was just blessed to have a great family there to support me through that difficult time. And then finally, my friends from my church, my coworkers, my neighbors, you know, just so many great people that would bring a meal to our house. They'd drop by and visit with me because they knew I was sitting around bored stiff and got all kinds of text messages and calls and emails. And so let me just challenge you. As you decide how you're going to spend your coin each day, I challenge you to make relationships a priority. Because if you're going through a difficult time in life, it's your relationships are what help get you through the difficult times. And even if you're not going through a difficult time, if you're here this morning and everything's good in your world, and I hope it is, listen, here's what I've discovered on the good days and the not so good days. It's my relationships, okay? My relationship with Christ, number one, and my relationship with others, that right there is what gives my life meaning, and that's what gives my life purpose. You know, my joy in this life, it does not come from being a mascot for the Chiefs. You know, I love the Chiefs, but if my joy depended on the Chiefs, I'd have been a depressed man after the Patriots playoff last year. Wish that Tom Brady had retired. Oh, God. You know, I know God's got a plan, right? But I wish he'd come up with a new plan instead of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl year after year after year. So I'm ready for that Patrick Mahomes plan to kick in anytime. So, but you know, I challenge you to make relationships a priority because they are important. I do want to share with you another lesson I learned, and what I consider the greatest lesson I've learned since that night in that hospital bed. And that night right there was the longest, most painful night of my entire life, okay? You guys, most miserable night of my life. Because even though they were giving me these very strong painkillers, my back, my tailbone, my ribs, the chest tube, it was all just very painful. And I couldn't sleep because I couldn't get comfortable, right? And not only I couldn't sleep, I was also in all this pain, but also I was dried up. You know, pain medications dry you out. If you look close, I've got tubes sticking up my nose. That was drying me out. And then I was going in for surgery the next morning. And if you know, before you go in for surgery, they don't let you eat or drink anything, right? So I'm miserable. I'd go to lick my chapped lips and my tongue was completely dry, right? And some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been through that. But I remember the only thing that gave me any kind of relief whatsoever was the nurses gave my wife a little styrofoam cup that had water in it, and they also gave her this little bitty stick. It had a small sponge on the end of it, and when I'd get so dry I just couldn't take it anymore, my wife would take that stick with the sponge, she'd dip it in water, and she'd wipe my lips with it, okay? And this went on all night long. About every 10 or 15 minutes, I'd ask my wife to wipe my lips with this sponge. And, you know, I remember laying in this bed. It's probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I still hadn't slept. And I tell you what I was doing. I was laying there having a pity party, okay? And those never work, by the way. And all I could think about was my pain and my struggles, my problems. And once again, I'm dried up. I asked my wife if she'll wipe my lips. And I'll never forget this either. My wife's wiping my lips with this sponge. And I realized, you know what? There was another man I read about one time. He was thirsty. He asked for a drink, and they offered it to him on a sponge. You know what? That's Jesus, okay? He's hanging on a cross. That's not near as comfortable as a hot hospital bed. And you guys know the story. He says, I'm thirsty. The soldiers at the foot of the cross, they take a stick, put a sponge on it, soak it in wine vinegar. They hold it up to Jesus' lips. And the Bible says, and when he had received the drink, Jesus says, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. And you know, that night in that hospital bed, I realized, you know what? Jesus was also familiar with pain. And just like it was no accident that I was in that hospital bed, that was part of God's plan for my life. It was no accident that Jesus hung on that cross either. That was also part of God's plan. That was God's plan for restoring sinful man, and that's you and me, back into a right relationship with a holy God. You know, the Bible's clear about the fact that we're all sinners. You know, we've all got issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. And by the way, if you're sitting in here today and you don't think you got issues, that means you've really got issues at this point, okay? I hate to break that to you. But you know what? We've all got issues. We're all sinners. But you know, one of my favorite verses in all Scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, says this, "But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know why Christ suffered and died? For one reason, because he loves you. He loves me, you know. And if you're going through a difficult time in your life right now, that's the best news I've got to share with you. You know, God loves you deeply. You are not alone. You know, I tell that to my kids all the time. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Think about it. If he carried a wallet, he don't need to. He's God. He don't need a wallet. But if he did, your picture would be in there too. And you know, and the Bible says in Romans 8, 38 and 39 that nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God loves you deeply. He wants to have a friendship with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And you remember what we just said, what my mom used to tell me, most important things in life are not things. Most important things in life are relationships. And I will tell you that the most important relationship that you are ever going to have in your entire life is a relationship with Christ. Because when the storms of life come, and it's not a matter of if they come, because I will tell you, storms are going to come in your life. It's when those storms come, it's your relationship with Christ is what gives you the strength and the stability to weather the storm. You know, I think it's John Ortberg. I read one of his books, and I've got this quote taped to my bathroom mirror. It's surrounded by toothpaste splatter, I'm sure, right now. But it says this. It says, "Peace in this life does not come from finding a lake with no storms. Peace comes from having Jesus in your boat." And you know the one thing this has taught me? I wouldn't go back and change it. As much as I hated the pain, I would not go back and change it. You know why? Because of this. The one thing I've learned through this experience is that God is faithful. His principles, his promises, they never fail. They are always reliable, no matter how painful, no matter how severe your struggle is. And I hope to encourage you with that this morning, because God is faithful. God is good. You know, he's got a promise in his word that says all things work together for good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'll be honest. I spent several months thinking, Lord, I don't know if I believe that promise or not. I'm having a really, really difficult time right now believing your promise. You know what I've found out? He does keep his promises. You can count on him. You may not see it today, But you know what? He is faithful and he is good. Now I'm going to have to go to the... Oh, thank you. I want to say thank you to my friends from Chipotle for giving me an extra napkin with my burrito yesterday. My wife's out of town, so I've been eating my own cooking, so I've got a lot of these napkins lately. But I want to share with you one more lesson I learned after I got hurt. This would have been January of 2014, okay? This is a couple months after my bungee jump. I'm on my way to another physical therapist appointment. You guys ever been to the physical therapist? Yeah. I used to call him my physical terrorist. If you've been to one, you know exactly why. But I'm on my way to another appointment, okay? And I'm sitting in a car once again, feeling sorry for myself, you know. I don't know if you've ever lived with pain. I still get to live with pain, and it's no fun, okay? You do not get a vacation from it. It wears you out physically, emotionally. A lot of days are discouraging, and then once in a while you get a day, and it's just flat out depressing, okay? And this was one of those days. I'm driving to another physical therapist appointment, having another pity party that still didn't work, and I'm listening to the Christian radio station. This radio personality comes on, and he says this. He says, every morning that you wake up, everybody's got something to complain about, and everybody's got something to be thankful for. He said, whichever one you choose to focus on, it's going to determine your attitude for the day. And I still remember sitting in my car, this is going to shock you, tears running down my face, and I realized I just learned a valuable lesson. I learned that, yeah, I guess I could sit around and I could complain that I had 7 broken ribs, or I could choose to be thankful I had 17 good ones that weren't broken, right? It can always be worse, you know? I realized I guess I could sit around and complain about my collapsed left lung that still wasn't back to normal. I wasn't sure what was going on because I couldn't see it, right? But something wasn't quite right. Or I could be thankful God gave me 2 lungs. My other one was working just fine. I realized that guess I could sit around, I could complain about all the new scars on my body, or I can be thankful. If I keep my pants and shirt on like I'm supposed to, nobody gets to see those scars, right? Not like I'm a Chippendale, I'm a mascot. Probably wasn't supposed to say that in church, sorry. But sometimes these things just come. But you guys, that day I wanted to complain that once again I woke up with all this pain in my back, my tailbone, my ribs. But for the first time since my bungee jump, I actually stopped that day and I told God thank you for my pain. And by the way, that is hard to do, okay? That's very hard to do. But I did. I thanked him because I realized if I couldn't feel pain, I'd be dead or I'd be paralyzed. And then I thought about that. Death, paralysis, pain. Guess what? I got the best one out of the three. You know, Mother Teresa once said this. She said that it's okay to have pain in your life. It's not okay to be one. I love that quote right there. That quote reminds me every day. It's okay if I've still got a pain in my rear. It's not okay for me to be a pain in your rear, right? You probably got a few pains in your rear in life, right? Just love those people anyway. But, you know, I still wake up with pain every morning, okay? I tell people I feel best when I'm active. So next Sunday, if you go to the Chiefs game and you see me down on the field running around in a costume, trust me, I feel a whole lot better than if I just sit around. If I sit around, everything tightens up, everything hurts, okay? Now, here's the bad thing about sleeping. That is not a lot of activity, okay? That's lying flat on your back for 7 or 8 hours. So, I mean, every morning I wake up with this crazy pain before I do my little stretching routine that helps a little bit. But I mean, every morning when my alarm clock rings, I realize, you know what? Once again, I get to make a choice today. And by the way, you get to make this same choice. But when I get out of bed, I realize I can choose to rise and shine, or I can choose to rise and whine. And you know what? I don't want to be a whiner. You know why? Because whiners don't make a positive impact for Jesus Christ in this world. You know, whiners do not have a positive influence in the lives of others. And what's the good book tell us in Matthew 5, verse 8, I think it is? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. You know what? That's what I want my life to be about. Whether I'm in a costume or whether I'm out of a costume, I hope people look at me and they know that I'm a man who loves the Lord and lives his life for him. Because the thing I've learned through this all, too, is that God, so when you live obediently, that's when you can live abundantly. God, that's right there. It's our obedience to Christ, and that's what I want my life to be all about. So as I start to wrap up, It's always hard being a speaker when you know there's food right after you. That means everybody's sitting there thinking, boy, I wish I'd shut up so I can go out and eat barbecue right now. But I want to share with you one more quick lesson I learned after I got hurt. And you probably know this, but there's nothing good on daytime television. Do you guys know that? I was going crazy. I would go to my physical therapy appointment. I'd come back home. I spent about a week searching around with the clicker trying to find something worth watching. There's nothing, okay? So what do you do if you're off work for 6 months and you don't have anything to do? Well, I decided I'd write a book. So I did. I wrote a book called Wolves Can't Fly, since I proved that wolves cannot fly, okay? This book right here is all about my career as a tiger and a bird and a wolf and people I've met and places I've traveled to all over the world and just crazy stories. Mascots have stories, okay? I could stand here and tell you stories all day. I've walked 5 women down the aisle on their wedding day, okay? I've been best man in 7 or 8 weddings, and I didn't even know who the groom was. I stood there in a wolf outfit with a tuxedo over it holding the ring in my paw, okay? And last fall, I got to check another one off my bucket list. I got to be the flower girl. I got to drop petals coming down the aisle. So if you got the money, I got the time. I tell people I got 2 kids. I still got 2 kids I got to get through college at this point. Then it tells the story about what happened to me November 23rd of 2013, all the lessons God's taught me through that time. And a lot of the quotes you've heard me use today are in this book. But I tell you, the reason I promote this book right here, you guys, I do not make a dime off of this book right here. All the money we make off this book, we give it away to missions and ministries. We do a lot of work with orphanages around the world. And I want to wrap up by showing you a few pictures of places that we help support with this book. This right here is an orphanage in Haiti, okay? It's one of the best trips I've ever taken in my life. This was right after the doctor said, okay, you're strong enough, you're healthy enough, you can start wearing a costume again. Well, one of the first trips I took was down to Haiti to work at this orphanage. Learned another great lesson down here. You know, I was going through all that therapy and rehab. I spent most of my time at home. You spend all your time at home, you know what happens? You live in a small world. You live in a small world, your problems seem huge. You go to a place like Haiti, you work in an orphanage, they don't have hot water, they don't have air conditioning, you sleep under a mosquito net every night on a really, really uncomfortable bed, and guess what happens? Your world gets big. You live in a big world, it'll put your problems in perspective in a hurry, but that's one of the places we help support. This right here is a village in the Philippines, okay? That building you see behind, that is their church in that village, okay? Doesn't look like our churches around here, but that's their church. A lot of the kids in this village were getting sick just because they did not have clean drinking water, so we went over there and helped them build a well. Guess where we built the well? Right behind the church. So if people want clean water, they got to come to church to get it. We did that on purpose, by the way. And then a little closer to home, you probably do this in Topeka too, called Shop with a Cop. That's my cop outfit, by the way. We donate money so that underprivileged kids can buy gifts for their family over the holidays. And then we did this one last fall. This is the Kansas City Rescue Mission. I've done a lot of work with the Topeka Rescue Mission here in town. Talk about a great ministry. This is the Kansas City Rescue Mission. Every year they do this thing called the Toilet Paper Challenge, okay? As you can imagine, they go through a lot of toilet paper down at the rescue mission. So every year they do this toilet paper challenge to collect toilet paper for the mission. Well, I had sold a bunch of these books, so I thought, I'm going to just buy a bunch of toilet paper and donate it. So I did that, but then I thought, you know what else I'll do? I'll go to a local elementary school, and I talked to the principal. I said, okay, let's do this. We'll have the kids bring in toilet paper. Whichever class brings in the most toilet paper, I'll buy pizza, and we'll have a pizza party for them, okay? Now, I don't know if you knew this or not, but kids like pizza, okay? Apparently, they like pizza a whole lot because those kids went crazy. In about 2 weeks' time, we ended up with over 16,500 rolls of toilet paper. We figured it up. It came to 943 miles of toilet paper if you would have rolled it out. And so it took 2 of those trucks to get all the toilet paper down to the mission. So they're going to be wiping a long time at the Kansas City Rescue Mission, okay? And then back in, let's see, next picture. Okay, this is where I went to in March. This is the country of India. This is a leper colony. Believe it or not, leper colonies still exist. So we went over there. We spent the day just loving on those people and hopefully blessing their life. And then we also helped to support a lot of the orphanages, some of the orphanage, Christian orphanages over in India. And then also had some fun in India. That's not a horse, okay? Also got to ride an elephant while I was there. And then my most recent trip, just got back in June. I got to go to Africa. We're doing some ministry over in Africa. Best thing about this trip, those kids had never seen white people before. Okay, it was so far out. And if they'd never seen a white guy, you know they'd never seen anything that looked like that wolf in the middle there. Okay, but that was a fascinating trip. And I'll show you two last pictures. This is where I went last summer. It's an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, okay, that we helped support. And here's my favorite picture from that trip right there. I will close with this, and I know I've said that three times, but I mean it this time. You guys, people ask me all the time, why does a 52-year-old man still run around in a costume for a living? You want to know the answer to that question? That picture. You guys, I want my life to make an impact for Jesus Christ. I want this world to be just a little bit brighter place because I was here for a short time. I want every person I meet, and I mean every person I meet, after an encounter with me, to walk away knowing that they're special, knowing that they are loved, and knowing that there is one person, at least one person in this world, that cares for them. And I don't care if they're young or old. I don't care if they're black or white. I don't care what their abilities or disabilities are. I want them to know that somebody cares. I meet a lot of people in my job. I meet a whole lot of people in my job. And you, I know you meet these same people where you work in your community. So many people go through this life, and it's almost like their buckets are empty. You know what I'm talking about? They seem discouraged. They seem depressed. They wonder if their life really matters. Anybody really care? And you know why I think that is too often in this life, we're passionate. And I mean, we get passionate about things that don't really matter. And then we're passive about those things in this life that should matter. You want to be a difference maker in your world for Jesus Christ. You want to be a difference maker in your home, in your workplace, your church, this community. Then here's my challenge to you as I close. Learn to live your life for the things that truly matter. That starts with a relationship with Christ, and then let it carry over into all the other relationships in your life. I'm done talking. You know, you've heard me today. If anybody is interested, books are $12. They're going to be back there somewhere, okay? But books are $12. I also brought these today. These are free. These are pictures of the wolf. You have no excuse not to take one of these home with you today, okay? These are absolutely free. So, and then you also keep seeing me pull a coin out of my pocket. These coins, one side of the coin's got a picture of K.C. Wolf. It says, life's like a coin, spend it wisely. On the back of the coin, it just says, rise and shine, Matthew 5:16. So if you're interested, like I said, books are 12, coins are 3. We got a special for you today. You can get a book and a coin for 15, okay? That's just for my friends here in Topeka, okay? But hey, and I want you to know, I had a lady call me the other day and told me that's the best book she's ever read. That was my mom, okay? She's here. She's the only one that's told me that at this point. I can't promise you it's the best book you're ever going to read. I will promise you this. It's got pictures, and also promise all the money we make off of it, we just give it away to missions and ministry. So, you know the reason I love speaking at your church? You guys are a whole lot better behaved than the Chiefs fans I work with on Sunday morning at Arrowhead Stadium. Thank you for not having a tailgate party before the service. But hey, let me wrap up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to dismiss. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful once again for the opportunity to come out and share my story. God, you know that this is not the story that I would have picked for my life, but this is the one that you chose to give me. And Lord, through this story, the one thing that you have taught me, like I said, is that your principles, your promises, they never fail. They're always reliable, no matter how severe or painful the situation. God, I thank you for being a faithful God. I thank you for being a good God. I thank you for being a God who does not know the word oops, Lord. You are sovereign. You are in control. Even when it seems like our lives are spinning out of control, which they do at times, Lord, I thank you that we can count on you, that you are the solid rock that we can place our feet on and know that you are right there by our side. I love you so much. I thank you for this opportunity to speak. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, as we head back out into this our homes, our workplaces this week and in this world, God, I pray that you'd help us to be salt and light in this world. Help people to see the difference in our lives. Help us to be passionate about things that truly matter. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to be shiners, not whiners. You're an awesome God. I love you so much. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you for letting me share with you today.